Hey, I'm Preet.
And I'm Josh. On today's health show, we're going to bring you a quick one about a woman who had maybe one of the rarest pregnancies you've never heard about.
It's a phenomenon called superfetation, and we're going to tell you why it makes this podcast sicker than your average health show. All right, everybody, welcome to today's show. We have a quick headline to discuss today, courtesy of Josh, who brought us something that he wants to talk about. What do you have today, Josh?
It's a story about a headline you may have seen about a woman who got pregnant while she was already pregnant, Preet.
What do you mean?
So a 39-year-old British woman was excited. She was expecting her second child thanks to the technology of fertility treatments. And she finds out on her second trip in for an ultrasound that she's having twins. On the first trip, she had no idea she was having twins. But on the second one, she goes in and she finds out she's having twins. Not regular twins. This was actually another fetus coming along to crash the birthday party.
So I'm not a pregnancy expert, but this sounds pretty crazy to think about. In grade 12 biology, I learned that you can only get pregnant one at a time. So is that not what's happened here?
This is going a little bit above and beyond our grade 12 biology learning. And somehow, this is a phenomenon, like we mentioned, called superfetation that basically makes a pregnancy possible while another pregnancy is already going on.
So how often does this happen, Josh? Is this a common thing that we've just never heard of before?
No, I don't think this is that at all. You know, twins are actually probably more common than people think here in Canada, with the data going back to 2016. Actually, like 3% of all pregnancies are, or 3% of all births are a twin birth of some kind. But this superfetation, this happens almost never. Depending on where you're looking, whether it's the Instagram of the mom who had the two children or in the scientific literature, we're looking at 4 to 14 cases documented ever. And it's so rare, those numbers make it so rare that some people actually think that this phenomenon can't even happen to the level that it's actually sometimes deemed a myth.
So I guess that's my next question here. How did this happen? Did this woman's reproductive system just not realize that she was pregnant? How does this even happen?
We might all think there's a perfectly rational explanation for all of this, but you know, there's a couple options, like maybe it was an oopsies, and on the ultrasound, when they looked the first time, they just didn't see it. The other option might be that it was there on the first ultrasound and just started growing a lot slower, but you know, something like this, like we learned a long time ago in biology, it's not really supposed to happen. And there's a lot of feedback and cycles inside the body that sort of prevent this from happening. First of all, there's a number of physical barriers. Once a fetus is implanted and start growing, then there's a lot of barriers in the way for traditional conception to be happening, even if there is another egg ovulated and floating around. There's a whole hormonal feedback system that sort of works to prevent that ovulation from happening. And so, you know, as far as those scientific literature papers can tell, they can't really tell how this would happen.
All right, Josh. So you mentioned the growth process there, and that's what I want to ask you about next. How did the rest of the pregnancy go, and was it any different than what we expect from a regular pregnancy?
Yeah, I mean, it's already different because when you have twins, it's already a different story than a traditional pregnancy. You know, you have extra complications that are for the mom. There's extra complications maybe for each of the two babies on their own. And there's some complications sort of like between the connection of the two. So mom's likely to be having some more morning sickness. You could even get something called hyperemesis gravidarum, which is an intense form of morning sickness. And she probably has higher rates of developing diabetes or high blood pressure during a pregnancy. And as a result, at the end, you know, sometimes these actually twin pregnancies lead to a higher rate of C-section, as we'll see comes to play a role in this story as well. In regards to each of the babies, what can happen is that there's a risk of prematurity. And because we find sort of troubles with their growth along the way, and actually there's some asymmetry in the growth, so that sometimes one baby sort of ends up doing a little stronger than the other. And again, that's what happened in this story. So they found out at about 33 weeks by the original fetus, that the smaller one, the younger one, was sort of having some concerns with nourishment through the umbilical cord and the placenta. And so they decided that the safest move at that point was to actually do a C-section. So successful C-section, everyone's okay now. This was in September of 2020. The birth was at 33 weeks for the oldest one, making the youngest around 30. And the biggest concern for both of these little ones is that their lungs just aren't really quite ready for the world at that point. The larger of the two, the older one, he was 4 pounds, 10 ounces, which is about what you'd expect for a baby that's been growing for 33 weeks. And he needed about 3 weeks in the neonatal intensive care unit. The other one, she was about 2 pounds, 7 ounces, which is a pretty small baby and a little bit smaller than what you might expect around that 30-week mark. And so she needed a bit of a longer stay, close to 100 days in the NICU.
Okay, so the gestational period for the older one was 33 weeks, and for the younger, for the later pregnancy, let's call it, was 30 weeks. How long is a normal pregnancy usually?
Yeah, around 40, you know, give or take a week or two is sort of what we'd expect. For twins, as we talked about before, they're probably sometimes delivered a little bit earlier, depending on what you're seeing there. But for a normal run-of-the-mill pregnancy, you're looking around the 40-week mark.
Was the birthing process any more complicated than a normal birth of one pregnancy?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because they did end up deciding to do a C-section, and I'm not sure if that was their plan all along, but when they were sort of checking up on the growth of that smaller one, they looked and they saw, hey, this little one maybe needs to be taken out now. So they did do a C-section, and, you know, it's a really rare consideration. Oftentimes you'll have twins that grow at a little bit of a different rate, but they're the same gestational age, so their development has gone along the same. Just maybe one got a little bit bigger than the other. This was different in that one was both physically larger than the other, but it was also older than the other. So the developmental stages for these little ones, you know, it's probably a really scary time for mom at the time to try to figure out what are our big risks here and how are things going to go. And luckily, as we spoke about, after those stays in the hospital, they're now home and safe and happy with the parents.
Okay, so that was a lot of information that you just threw at us, Josh. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we've got some questions from listeners for you. All right, we're back. So after Josh told me about this phenomenon, we decided to go out and start asking people what they wanted to know about superfetation and in some cases, whether they even believed this was real. So the first question we have here, Josh, is, are these babies technically the same age, and are they technically twins?
I'll come back at you with that with a question of my own, Preet. When was your birthday?
September 19th.
And that was the day you were born?
That is the day I was born. Yeah, as far as I know.
And that's the same for these little ones. So they're going to be the same age now because we count our age from the day we were born. We don't go back and try to look at, you know, sort of age before we actually were born. And so we're going to use that birthday. To answer the question about twins, that's a good question. You know, we're looking up sort of the definition of a twin. You can find one definition that might say a simultaneous birth from one mother or another one that says offsprings from the same pregnancy. No matter what definition you look up, these kids end up satisfying that definition because they were with the mom during pregnancy at the same time and they were both born at the same time. So yeah, these are twins and they're the same age now.
I get what you're saying, Josh. They're the same age. But are these twins going to be identical?
These twins are not going to be identical. These twins are going to be the same process that would go on for fraternal twins, as any brother and sister, as these two are that are born at the same time. Because they came from two entirely separate eggs from mom and two entirely separate sperm from dad. And so these are fraternal twins that were separated by an ovulation period of 3 weeks.
But did they have to be twins, Josh? We have one listener asking, can you give birth to the first older fetus and then wait to give birth for the second fetus later in the gestational period?
On the surface, it might seem like a pretty good solution. You know, if you have two buns in the oven that went in at separate times, you take the one that went in first out and you leave the second one in there. Unfortunately, the delivery process maybe doesn't work quite as simply. And you might want to picture this more like a full water balloon with two other full water balloons inside and then just selectively going in and taking one out and leaving the other in there. You can imagine how problematic that might be. And in the circumstance of what they had to do with this one for a C-section, you know, they did the C-section because of the concerns with the younger one. And so it would probably not make the most sense to take the younger one out and leave the other one there. So it's very difficult to have a birthing process with a uterus that's going to basically remain having a pregnancy after that. That's going to be a pretty big challenge. So as the way that this set up, these two were always going to be twins.
Can there be a third water balloon in this analogy?
By the way we understand that this occurred, I can't see why not. The odds seem even more unlikely than the 14 cases out of the total number of pregnancies that the history of mankind has ever seen. So it seems incredibly unlikely for these stars to align yet in one more way. But if it happened this first time, I suppose it's not entirely impossible for it to have happened this second time and then a third time.
After you told me about this, I went digging for some more research to try to learn what in the world superfetation was and how rare it really is and how much information we have on it in general. And I was looking at these articles, Josh, and they were citing papers from 1927 and earlier, as far back as 1865 in one case. So it seems like there's just no information on this phenomenon. So what does this mean for what we understand about pregnancy?
Well, I think we're going to need more data to find out if we have any possible explanation for how this is actually occurring. We have so much of an understanding of why it's so unlikely to occur and probably why we see it so rarely that we're going to need to wait until we have another example of this to take a look at before we maybe have a chance at getting a better understanding of this. And secondly, maybe it's not as rare as we think it is. Maybe, you know, when we see regular twin births where the babies are both separate weights and or different weights at the time of birth, maybe this is an explanation for that. Though it seems unlikely, we do dating ultrasounds quite early in pregnancies, 6, 7, 8 weeks along those lines. And we use those because it's the best time to track changes that occur on a very short time frame. And so it seems unlikely that this is an explanation for that and thus an explanation for this case too.
Yeah, it sounds like almost like an urban legend the way you're describing it.
And that's the way some of the literature really phrases it. If you go looking for this in where you would find scientific literature normally, the number of articles you find, the amount of time that separates them, this is not like going on a scientific literature search for anything else where you only find 121 hits. It's very equivalent to going to a Google search, putting a word into Google, and it saying it found 121 answers when you would normally expect something in the thousands. This is very rare and very poorly understood.
And did you find any interesting places where people can go for information on superfetation?
I think a really good example about this one, you can obviously go to the mom's website. We'll have her Instagram linked in the show notes, and you'll be able to look at how her sort of story went there. And we also, as always, link some articles where you can take a read on some of the scientific explanations for this and how it may be possible.
Well, as much as we'd love to learn more about superfetation today, Josh, we've run out of time. But we hope that you join us for our next episode of Sicker Than Your Average Health Show.
The show is hosted by Preet Gandhi and Josh Britton.
The show was edited and produced by Mac Britton.
If you have more questions about today's topic, a past episode, or maybe even a new episode idea, you can get them into us at our new email address, info@sickhealthshow.ca.
As always, we encourage you to subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts, and check out our social media pages at Sick Health Show on Twitter and Instagram.
We're looking forward to sharing more with you on our next episode of Sicker Than Your Average Health Show.